Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour, and today is Friday, September 16th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free on the internet through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice at whyagain.org. And apparently that website is a little bit full. And sometimes when I send people there, they say, wow, there's so much there, I don't really know where to start. So then I say, almost every day as I do the intro on the internet show, I say, go to that page and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, the words Start Here. And go there, and that will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description and explanation of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. So that's where to start. Do that first, whether you choose to download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book or not. You can go there, and also on that page, there is a link to download the actual worksheet process itself. There's also a link to download a whole host of audio files of shows, just like this one, in which people have been stepped through the worksheet process, and or they've called in to give testimonials about how beneficial it has been for them to apply these tools in their life. And if you choose to download some of those files and listen to them, they can serve as a tutorial for you. And so without any outside influence other than those audio files and the actual worksheet process itself, you can become proficient in the use of this tool. And you can become somebody who's changing their life for the better using a tool like this to make good use of every negative emotional state that you experience, turning it into part of your guidance system and improving your relationships. Because I don't think I've learned anything in my life that's improved my relationships more than my ability to take greater and greater responsibility for my own emotions moment to moment. And that's what the use of this tool allows me to do, to become aware of how I am creating my emotions and to use those emotions I'm creating as a source of information about what I'm doing in the world and how I can change what I'm doing in the world to make my emotions better and my relationships better. Any relationship I'm in where I insist that someone or something outside of me is creating my emotional state, that's the definition Dr. Michael Rice uses for a codependent relationship. And we are glad to be able to support people in the recognition and then the refining of techniques to take more and more responsibility for what each of us is doing moment to moment to create our emotional state, to understand that my emotions are created by the interpretations that I choose and place on the life events that are unfolding in, through, as, and around me. And the more I step into that realization that I'm the one creating, choosing the interpretation and then placing it on life events, and that that's what creates my emotions, the better my life gets, because then every time I start experiencing an emotion that's not pleasant, I can choose differently. I can change what I'm making the situation mean. I can change the interpretation that I've chosen and begun to place upon this person's actions or this situation. So we are encouraging people to do all of that soon and often, because primarily it tends to improve the quality of people's lives the more they do it, and secondarily because it tends to prompt comments, questions, answers, and testimonials. And if you have any of those to share with us, please give us a call at 563-999-3581. And if you choose to do that, you call that number, press 1 on your phone. That will put the little icon of a hand by your phone number, and I'll turn on your microphone, and we can have a conversation. And I'd like to say we appreciate when people do that, because it makes it far easier for us to live into our intention with this work. The intention with this work, the intention that Michael and Jeannie have for paying all of the money to maintain the website and have this Blog Talk Radio show and rearrange their schedules to be available to be on the show 5 days a week, all of that is to live into the intention to be of service. And if you have the willingness to call in and raise a hand and tell us, how can we be more easily, directly, unambiguously of service, we'd appreciate it. So this year, we have been working with The Way of Mastery. And we began reading through The Way of Mastery on January 10th. And yesterday, we ended up completing the first read-through of Lesson 21, I believe it's Lesson 21. And Lesson 21 begins with an exercise. It lists 9 statements, and it suggests that we use those 9 statements as mind shifters, what Dr. Michael Rice would call a mind shifter. What's a mind shifter? In Dr. Michael Rice's work, a mind shifter is a statement for which, somewhere in my consciousness, I will have negative thoughts or beliefs. I will have competing thoughts or beliefs. And I can make use of this to stir up those negative thoughts or beliefs or competing thoughts or beliefs by committing to do a targeted journaling session, to sit down, turn the radio and TV off, put the smartphone off, and refuse to answer the door except for emergencies, and just carve out an hour or two or three of my time where I'm going to go exploring. I'm going to go spelunking in the caves of my consciousness. And I say consciousness because, following the work of people like Paramahansa Yogananda, there is only what we are conscious of, what we are, what we have experienced. And our consciousness is massive and pervasive. Now, other people have talked about how there's the conscious mind and the subconscious mind and the unconscious mind. And Paramahansa Yogananda and others who have observed, there is only consciousness, and there is the consciousness of what I have lived through and what I've experienced that I am willing to look at. I will direct the light of my awareness onto those areas, those experiences, those memories, those beliefs and perceptions. And there's all kinds of stuff that I've lived through and experienced and have perceptions, beliefs about that I turn away from and or I actively hide from myself. And that's what people call the subconscious and the unconscious. So a tool like the Mind Shifter is something that helps me go in and stir up and add energy to and get more consciously aware of the things I have been turning away from, the things I have been afraid to look at, the things I have been pushing out of my awareness for one reason or another. So there are 9 statements, and the Way of Mastery says write each one of them at the top of a separate sheet of paper, and then engage in the process of sitting with that, abiding with that statement, and just noticing what part of your consciousness wants to argue against it. And the Way of Mastery is letting us know that from this perspective, from the perspective of this teaching, these 9 statements are absolutely true. And so anything in you that wants to argue against this is part of a false belief system. And it's really useful to get conscious of those false belief systems that I'm letting live in me. If they're in me and they get activated and they become the strongest resonant energy in that moment, they will determine my behavior, my thoughts, my emotions. So it's really useful for me to get conscious, to get present moment awareness of these things. These things, these thoughts, these beliefs, these traumatic energies. Because the more I become aware of them consciously, the more I can deal with them directly and change my process, change my interpretation, change my thoughts, change my actions, dismantle the resonant energies which are generating certain emotions within me. So these statements that the Way of Mastery assures us are absolutely true, that it suggests that we use as mind shifters, read as follows. It is not possible for you to be without love. It is not possible for you to be alone. It is not possible for you to taste death. It is not possible for you to taste genuine loss. It is not possible for you to suffer the dream of separation. It is not possible for you to be apart from your Creator. It is not possible for you to fail. It is not possible for you to harm anyone or anything. It is not possible for you to be guilty of sin. Now just notice, if you will, if you're willing to turn some of this work into an actual process, a teaching, a learning, a growing situation, just notice what gets resonated in you as you hear these 9 statements. That would be the beginning of doing this exercise. I think this is baloney. I think this is dangerous to make these statements. I think if my family thought I was buying into this. They'd think I was in a cult. All of that is stuff I would write down on a piece of paper. As I sit with these thoughts, I think this person doesn't really know how my life works. That's something I would write on a piece of paper if I had that thought come to me. After I write at the top of the piece of paper, it's not possible for me to fail. If I get flooded with thoughts about failures I've had in life in grade school and high school and my college age days, I would start writing those on there. Because those are the things in my consciousness that want to argue against what the Way of Mastery is saying are absolutely true statements. And I'm okay with these statements being true or false. I'm not going to be invested in getting you to agree that these statements are true. I'm not going to be invested in getting myself to believe they're true. I'm just going to use this process to get more access to the various thoughts and beliefs that are contained in my energy system, my mind, my body, my trauma body, whatever you want to call it. It mentions it a couple times in the last couple lessons. This is a paradox. This is a very difficult thing for the Western mind, for the conscious logical mind, to wrap itself around. It can't actually wrap itself around this, to deal with, to cope with, to function from. We had somebody in the group last night who was bringing up a wonderful point about how as they hear these kinds of recommendations in the Way of Mastery, their mind says, oh my gosh, the Way of Mastery is telling me to just lay on the couch and never do anything productive. The Way of Mastery has, you know, a lesson that says you need do nothing. The Way of Mastery says, in truth, we don't know what anything is or is for. We don't know what our brother or sister needs. And the person in the group last night was saying, you know, when I hear that, I just can't buy into that at all, because if I buy into that, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to lay on the couch and eat salty, fatty snacks and not have any interest in the rest of the world, and I'll never do anything. And my response that came out last night was a little bit different than any I'd made before. But the words were something like, the Way of Mastery is not talking about getting really inactive and never doing anything. The Way of Mastery is really talking about choosing a different source for inspiration. Going to your heart center, going to the Great Comforter or the Holy Spirit or your Creator or your intuition, and asking to be taught by some source other than your conscious logical mind, and letting your actions and behaviors flow from that rather than all of the machinations of the intellect, all of the evaluations, all of the ego thoughts. All of the desire to accumulate stuff. The Way of Mastery is suggesting that we choose a different source as our guide, guidance, wisdom. The The way of mastery is asking us to choose love. The way of mastery is asking us to choose to teach only love in each moment. So instead of having an idea about how I can become world famous or get millions of followers on YouTube or generate millions of dollars so that I can retire, instead of that, Way of Mastery is asking us to tap into something that's other than just what the five senses can show me. Way of Mastery is suggesting that there is something that has always been and will always be that transcends the physical world, and that I have a direct connection to that. You have a direct connection. Every human being has a direct connection to that energy, to that intelligence, to that wisdom, to that creativity, to that flow of creative energy, whatever you want to call it. And the Way of Mastery is simply suggesting that we check in with that source within us and we stay aligned with that source within us moment to moment, breath to breath, prior to every thought, and let that energy and alignment with that energy be what motivates us to say and do whatever we say and do. And it's been very clear at different points in different lessons where it says, paradoxically, as you settle into the truth that you need do nothing and that you are whole and complete just as you are and nothing of value can be taken from you and nothing of value can be added unto you, as you settle into that, you become even more active. You become a conduit for this wisdom and intelligence, for this creative force, for this loving energy, for this atonement or at-one-ment, for the awakening of the Christ mind in the physical world. You become a tool for that. You become far more active, but from a different source of motivation, from a different source of guidance. So if you were listening and you were having the same kinds of thoughts, you know, this is ridiculous. If I do it the Way of Mastery tells me to do, and if I try and do this, this, and this before every thought, I'll never get anything done. I'll never leave the house. I'll never, you know, march for peace. I'll never, you know, do anything political to get this person that I think is destroying our local school district out of office or whatever. That's not the case. The Way of Mastery says very clearly that if you do this work, you will align more with the source for all creation. And that source that gave rise to you and that continues to give you your existence and beat your heart and digest your food and keep your breath moving. And as you get aligned with that, and as that intelligence and wisdom within you grows and comes to understand your understanding of it and your solid relationship with it, then there becomes no fear that you're going to corrupt that energy and or let your ego rule the day and or try and take responsibility for your existence or the things that flow through you. And the more that happens, the more this energy, that wisdom, will flow through you, and the more active you will get and the more you will accomplish that are in alignment with, the more things you will accomplish that are in alignment with the flow of creation itself, that which some would call love, that which some would call God, that which some would call the peace that passes all understanding, that which some would call the atonement. So it is a paradox. It is moment to moment something that avoids, evades, eludes, goes beyond what your conscious logical mind can comprehend. And this last lesson specifically talked about that paradox and says, in a moment, when you wake up and realize that you are a body and a place and a planet, in the next moment you realize that's not all you are. And when you see those two things, even though they seem incompatible to the Western mind, and you understand the truth of them in the same moment, then you become even more active, more a conduit for that energy that creates, that heals, that respects, that allows, that trusts, that surrenders to everything, where you begin to realize at deeper and deeper levels of this felt experience of life that you are not just the body. And you will have trauma energies and beliefs and thoughts within you that will fight against that and say, no, I am just the body. And look, I just sprained my ankle. And look, I can't run like I used to. And look, no matter what I eat, I still gain weight. And look, I have hairs growing out of my nose and my ears and none on the top of my head. And look, this is the truth. And the Way of Mastery says, yes, that is the truth. And so much more. That is the truth about one small part of you. And in the same moment that that's true, you are conscious. You are consciousness. The truth of who or what you are is the ability to be consciously aware moment to moment. And that awareness that you have about your hand and your foot and your chair in front of you and the car you're driving and the sun that it rises and the bird you see in the tree, that consciousness is connected to the consciousness that was in existence prior to any physical material in the universe, prior to any atom or molecule or single cell or multi-cell organism. The consciousness that you are is eternally connected to consciousness everywhere, and consciousness that existed prior to the birthing of anything physical. And that is something your conscious logical mind cannot make sense of. It might be able to follow the words, but then as soon as they're uttered, it says, that doesn't make sense. How could the essence of what I am have been here before there was anything physical? There's no way for my conscious logical mind to comprehend that, which is part of why people, great teachers like Dr. Michael Rice, have said, so, you know, in order to heal, you've got to be out of your mind. In order to heal, you've got to go beyond what your conscious logical mind can process. You have to let in inputs that your conscious logical mind can't register because they don't come strictly from the five senses. And you've got to give up the pattern of logic that you learned within the context of a language which is itself divisive. To give up the pattern of logic, you have to go outside the pattern of logic that was created in the context of a language that you were given. Because the very language itself is built on separation, division, comparison. And what we're being pointed towards as an experience is the unity of all things, the connection of all things, the communion of all things, the oneness of all things. reminds me of when Guy Finley, when Dale Allen Hoffman came to town, he had this penlight flashlight that had a filter on it that when he spun the filter, it would turn the one light beam coming out the top of the light into hundreds of tiny rays of light, like one of those disco balls that reflects the light in all these different directions. But he had it in the pen light, and when he spun the pen light, hundreds of spots of light came out the end of the pen light. And he asks, you know, how many lights are there? And if you look at the wall or the ceiling where all of these dots of light are, you'd say there's hundreds of them. But in truth, he's holding the pen light. It has one light bulb. It's all connected. It all comes from its source. It's never left its source. That's your consciousness. That's yourself. And your conscious logical mind cannot grasp that concept. It can create words about it, like I'm doing right now. It can follow along when somebody creates words about it, like I'm doing now. But it's not the same as the experience. Right? So you can say, you know, a triple chocolate fudge ice cream banana split. You can say those words. But for somebody who's never tasted chocolate or fudge or banana or ice cream, it doesn't have any meaning. And then let's say you show them a picture and it's beautifully photographed with these commercial photographers that can make Lord knows what look like food. And it's beautiful. The colors catch the eye. There's a glistening of the coating of the fudge. You can practically smell the banana and the strawberry at the other end of this banana split. Except if you've never tasted a banana or smelled a strawberry or smelled the chocolate or tasted the chocolate, you say, oh, that's what a banana split is. But you haven't had the experience of it. So, in like ways, we can talk about everything is connected and your consciousness, pure consciousness, and you, the essence of what you are, existed before there was anything physical, and yet it's not the experience. So chapter 21 says, if you want to get there, if you want to have a different kind of an experience, you need to do what they call a purification. You need to see the garbage, the false conclusions, trauma energies, and negative thoughts within you and see through them. See them as false. See the ways they are parading around as the truth. See the ways that your mind wants to argue for or against an actual truth. And the more you do that work to see the parts of you that want to argue against these absolute truths about life and existence and the creative energy and your role in the world, the lighter you get and the closer you move to being able to perceive the truth of life, actuality, or what the Way of Mastery in its book has written as capital R reality. So they suggest an exercise of purification. And the text reads, beloved friends, please consider each of these statements that has just been made for you. We suggest that you write down each statement at the top of a separate piece of paper and then begin a process in which for 1 week you abide with each of these statements. So it's a minimum of a 9-week process. Minimum 9 weeks. What do we mean by that? We mean that as often as you choose through desire, this energy of creation that wants to flow through you uniquely in this moment, through that energy of creation, through that impulse to see only love, to teach only love, to see actuality rather than to look at the world through the filters of your traumas. As often as you choose, through that energy of desire, set aside time to merely sit with, abide with this statement, and then watch what comes up in your mind and write it down. What you will discover are many pictures, many ideas, and even certain feelings that seem to indicate to you that this statement must not be entirely true. That can't be true. This is a way for you to deepen your ability to observe what is actually occurring within the field of your own mind. This is a way to enter into a deliberate purification. Denying that there are traumas inside of you, denying that there are negative thoughts inside of you about yourself or somebody else, denial can never purify the mind. For you cannot transcend what you refuse to embrace. For in embracing, does love return to the place where the shadow once dwelt, where the light of your awareness shines and eliminates the shadow or the darkness that is created when you turn away from something, when you don't want to look at something, when you generate fear about something and use that filter? Only then, only by embracing, does love return to the place where the shadow once dwelt. Love alone heals all things. Now, love in this sense is not what you do when you pet your cat. Love is not the sexual arousal you get, friend or lover. Love, as they're using it in this book with the capital L, refers to acceptance, allowance, trusting, embracing all that is. The entire flow of life, the creative energy itself, is this energy of love. And only the complete acceptance of all that is leads to healing. The text goes on and says, the innocent need not fear. Therefore, because you are innocent, you are completely free to be thoroughly honest about what comes up in the mind as you sit with each statement. Just jot it down. Many of you may have heard about brainstorming and this process where in a brainstorming session, every thought that comes up is equally accepted. We don't pass any judgment or evaluation. We just write down every thought anybody shouts out. And sometimes they're pretty far out there, and there's a tendency to want to say, oh, well, that's not even related, and don't write. And we, if we're doing a brainstorming session, we say it doesn't matter how wacky, it doesn't matter if it seems to be off track. If somebody has it come to mind, we write it down. Complete acceptance and increased awareness of what bubbles up, and we write it down. The text goes on and says, then after a 2 or 3 minute period, pause and look at what you've come up with or what has come up within you, and then juxtapose that to the statement at the top of the page, which the Way of Mastery is telling us, these 9 statements are absolutely true. Take the statement that you are working with and simply repeat it in your mind. Then look at the statement, the picture, the description, or the memory that seems to indicate that your experience is other than the truth of this statement, and just keep comparing them back and forth. Juxtapose them. As you juxtapose them in this way, look at what comes up within your mind. Be honest about it. If it is an event that occurred last week or last year or 10 years ago or 500 years ago, it doesn't really matter. As you look at it, simply ask, has this belief or this perception of myself that seems to be the opposite of the statement at the top of the page, has it really changed anything about me? Has it taken my existence from me? Simply see what the answer is, and then lift your eyes from the page and look around and say within your mind, quote, I am free in this moment to choose to see things differently, close quotes. And then just take a moment or two to abide, simply looking around you. And then go back to the statement at the top of the page and say it out loud again, at least three times. And then merely say within the mind quietly, this is the truth about me, and I want only the truth, close quotes. Then put it away and be about your business. The next day, bring it out and do the exercise again. Or it might even be later in the same day. Bring it out and do the exercise again. Do that kind of process for 1 week for each of the statements that we gave you in the beginning of this lesson. Rest assured, purification will be occurring in the depth of your mind. Each in your own way. But you will experience it. Remember always that the only thing that can be transformed is the mind. It is by the power of the mind itself that purification occurs. Just as desire is essential to realization, so too is willingness essential or allowance essential. You heard us say unto you many times that you are required only to offer a little willingness, just what you would call a smidgen. Measure out a smidgen of your willingness, which is the same as allowance, and sprinkle it upon your experiences. Sprinkle it across the world. Sprinkle it upon your own being. This is another thing that came up in the group last night. The thought that it's kind of grandiose to say, I allow this day to be grainy. I allow this toast to be Burnham. As though I'm some kind of an all-powerful creator that's created this. But this is an exercise for my intellect, for my conscious logical mind, which has been trained to resist, to deny, to push away. So this is just an exercise for me to get my conscious logical mind, or the intellect as it's been, as the Way of Mastery talks about, shoved full of trivialities from my family and my culture and my language. This idea of practicing allowance has nothing to do with feeling myself to be the creator of the world. It has to do with training the conscious logical mind into a new pattern that's the opposite of resistance and the opposite of judgment. It is allowance, acceptance, trust, surrender, embracing, all that is, everything that occurs. And the more I practice doing that, the more the parts of my mind that think it knows better, the more the parts of my mind that are identified with trying to keep itself in place as a sense of myself, as the ego, as this identity, the more that will kick up a fuss, which is what I want. I want it to kick up a fuss so I can see it. I want it to come out of hiding. This is, why we were... We've talked at various times about Michael Rice's concept of regulatory speech. Regulatory speech has these two functions. One of them is to regulate, and the other one is to reveal. It's revelatory and it's regulatory. The statements I make, the thoughts that come to my mind, if I make the statement or if I'm willing to be honest about the thoughts I have, those thoughts will reveal to me exactly what's happening in my mind. So it doesn't matter how many years. Right now it's been over 18 years that I've been doing the support group and actively using these tools and talking to people about taking 100% responsibility for their emotions, etc. It doesn't matter how many years I teach it. Later today, tomorrow, next week, this weekend, I'm supposed to be going to some 50th high school reunion or something. And it doesn't matter how much I've been teaching the fact that I'm the one that creates my own emotions. I'm quite likely going to have something arise this weekend where the thought, even if it doesn't come out of my mouth, the thought comes into my head, this person's making me angry. This person is dead wrong. That shouldn't be happening. If I'm honest with myself, I can use that experience of the thought coming up or the words coming out my mouth as a revelation that no matter how much I teach the opposite, there's still a part of my mind that believes people and things outside of me cause my emotional state, and or that people or things outside of me are wrong and I'm right, as though I'm in possession of some ultimate wisdom. And yet, there's another level of wisdom that I can observe and I've taught about and I've heard other people teach about that says if it's unfolding in life, it's perfect just the way it is. It's, you know, one way to think about it is it's 13.84 billion years of the extension of the creative energy since the Big Bang have led to everything that's going to unfold today, tomorrow, and the next day. And there's an intelligence behind it, and there's a flow to it, and there's far more going on here than my conscious logical mind will ever be able to wrap itself around, much less create. And yet, there it was. I just had the thought. This person's making me angry. This person's scaring me. This person's hurting my feelings. That situation is tragic. This should never happen. And if I choose to use that thought as an alarm system, as an awareness that here I just got revealed to me, hey, Tim, there's a part of your mind that still believes people and things outside of you create your emotions. Now I've got something I can work with. I can have these kinds of revelations as I go through my, as my master would say, my ordinary everyday day, which we now know is there are no ordinary days. Everything is an extraordinary gift of the creative energy. Every life, every moment of your life, whether you want to label it as something that's bad or wrong or you prefer not to have it, every moment of your life is extraordinary. As life is unfolding, you are in school. You can learn about yourself. And or, as Guy Finley talks about, you can learn about what it is. Hey, Tim, you just got upset. You know what that means? Life is saying to you, hey, Tim, would you like to see what's keeping you from knowing me and loving me more deeply? Here it is, right now. It's this process you're using to be in resistance or be in anger or be in fear or be in judgment about the unfolding of life events in this moment. Your judgment about it, your decision that you know better than the actual process of life, that's keeping you from knowing and loving life more deeply. That's keeping you from being in alignment with the energy of the flow of creation, which is keeping you from experiencing the peace which passes all understanding. What is it that is the peace that passes all understanding? It's a peace that is not dependent upon understanding anything or anything in the world unfolding in a certain way. It's a peace that is always there. many times we are busy looking at other in other directions, and we are not aware that it is always there, but it's the peace that is life, that is the flow of creation, that is this capital L love. And we can have an experience of it in each new present moment if we choose to dismantle our judgments and our resistance, if we move into allowance and surrender, if we move into asking to be shown, to see the true nature of life, the shimmering radiance of the creative energy that lies behind every perception we create. So we have about 7 or 8 minutes left, time for a comment or a question before we head into our second hour transition with Michael and Jeannie. I just all of a sudden felt like I was on a tangent and not really making that much sense, so I'll just take a breath and slow down and see if anybody wants to offer a comment, a question. Is it making sense? We will continue with the Way of Mastery Lesson 21 review on Monday. And as I mentioned, to my eye and ear, Lesson 21 and Lesson 22 provide some of the most arduous, intense tools, as I understand it, as I have experienced them in the entire 35 lessons of the Way of Mastery. So it's completely up to you. Maybe you choose to do this exercise. Maybe you choose to do the targeted journaling. Maybe you don't. Again, this book really wants you to just understand that you have the freedom to do either one. And to say clearly, either I'm going to do it and then do it, or I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because I'm so busy. That's not the truth. I'm not going to do that because my spouse would be angry if they found it, so I can't write it out. That's not the truth of why you're not doing it. You're not doing it, according to this work, simply because you've chosen not to do it. And that's perfectly okay. You have the infinite capacity to choose the focus of your conscious awareness in each moment. You have the infinite capacity to choose what you're going to focus on, what you're going to value, what you're going to judge, what you're going to release judgment of. And that is a part of the gift of life that's been given to you. And it's all okay. This work wants you to move into acceptance, allowance, and surrender. There's nothing in this work that's looking to generate pressure, guilt, shame, any kind of an external motivation for you to do your work or to do your worksheets or to do your EFT tapping or to do your journaling. That's not a part of this work. This work is about awakening in you the awareness of your true nature and your connection to your source, and awakening in you your ability to perceive the trivialities that have been shoved into your intellect, perceive the false, the negative as false, the false parading around as the true, and to see the truth for what it is. And as it said in this last lesson, the more you do that, the more it's going to be uncomfortable for you to take 20 or 50% or 90% of your time and focus on something else. It just becomes more uncomfortable the more you awaken. And yet, you're perfectly free to go back to sleep or to choose to eat a bunch of fatty, fried, salty foods and numb yourself out, or to choose to have drinks or marijuana. You're perfectly free to choose that, and it is not going to disturb the peace of the consciousness of the essence of the Great Comforter or the Christ mind or the One mind. This work says over and over again, they will simply wait with infinite patience and love until we decide to choose for love, until we decide to choose to teach only love and to value only the loving thoughts that flow through our field of energy that we call the mind. So please understand, the invitation is there, but there's no pressure in the invitation. Any pressure that you generate is coming from within you. You are 100% always free to choose. Will you participate in this program? Will you do these exercises or not? If you choose to participate in these programs, you are no different than your brothers and sisters who don't choose to participate in these programs. It doesn't make you better. It doesn't make you worse. It might help you awaken to your true nature, but it does not increase or decrease your value. Your mistakes and failures, your successes in any area, do not decrease or increase your value as a person. You have the value you have because the breath of life has been given to you, because consciousness is what and who you are. So please notice the tendencies, because we were raised in the Western mind and all the comparison and the judgment and evaluation. Please notice if you have thoughts. Oh, I'm so proud of myself because I did this. Let that reveal to you, let that revelatory portion of regulatory speech that Michael Rice talks about, let it reveal to you, oh, there's a part of my mind that thinks subtly, but thinks I'm better than my brother and sister because I'm doing the way of mastery, or because I truly understand what the way of mastery is saying, or because I've incorporated what the way of mastery says, so that I have a deeper understanding and a more accurate understanding of what the Course in Miracles really says. If I have that thought, the encouragement is to realize that my thought process has just revealed to me another error in thought that thinks I'm separate from and or better than and or worse than my brother and sister. And that's the opposite of what we are being asked to have an experience of. We are being asked to have an experience of our true nature, which is part of all of creation, which is infinitely connected. And that is just an invitation. Take it or leave it, it's perfectly okay either way. So I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff that we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. And I'll welcome Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. Appreciate it.
Well, you're most welcome and deserving, and have a wonderful show.
Thanks. So, well, welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. Today is Friday, September the 16th, 2022. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions, because that makes this your show. We'll give Michael a moment to get dialed in, and I'll invite you to go to our website, whyagain.org, and click on the Start Here button. There's all kinds of information there, things to download, to read, to listen to, information on the app, and just invite you to put it to work in your life. Welcome, Michael. I'll let you give them the news. Except you're muted.
Thank you, sweetie. Yes, we have some news for those who know my son, Michael J., and his wife, Jamie. Their little sprout is coming to fruition. Who's here? Oh, I hadn't gotten that message. He's here?
I don't know if it's he or she.
Oh, well. Well, we're just looking at our new granddaughter or grandson. I don't know which. Sweet little face. Awesome. I was going to announce that we were just told a few minutes ago that she was dilated. Jamie was dilated, 9.5, a little girl. And did they come up with a name? Kaylee Jo Luna Rice. So, hold the space for Michael and Jamie, if you would, that that Kaylee Jo sleeps easily through the night and gives them respite. And I'm sure they're very excited. They actually just got to the, they decided on doing a hospital birth, and they just got there about an hour ago. So she started into some, what she thought were Braxton Hicks cramps last night. But 'twas the real thing. So we have a real granddaughter, Kaylee Jo. So if you would hold the space for them, and we're actually going to wait for a month. Michael J. has a month off of work. We were going to go out for the birth. But actually, it wouldn't have worked very well because the baby wasn't due for another week. So we would be preparing now and getting ready to head out to Kansas City about a week from now. And so this wouldn't have worked very well. So it's best we planned. He's going to be off work for a month, and then we're planning to head out and spend 10 days or so with him to just be whatever support we can be. So that's an exciting thing happening in our world. And besides that, got the gardens all sown with a cover crop, a winter cover crop. Cut down the buckwheat. So the winter cover crop is sown, and the gardens are all trimmed up and looking beautiful again. You know, that growth spurt that puts everything everywhere. Well, it's really looking pretty. Well, actually, the three of them are looking pretty. We have three different gardens right now. And we're looking at planning a fourth for next year. We're not sure where it's going to be. So there's lots happening here. Little sprouts all over the place. And so welcome to Mindshifters Radio as another member of the next generation enters into our world. The motivator for us doing what we do, actually, my son, Michael J., daddy to Kaylee Jo, really transformed this work and moved it to a new level when he was born. I can remember very clearly, and he was born 1979. Yeah, 1979. And I can remember holding him and thinking, if somebody doesn't do something, the state of the world, there's not going to be a world for our children to grow up in. And so what you're seeing, really, it was his entry into the world that motivated me to take this work to the next level in making it globally available. So thank you, Michael J. And we'll breathe with the new mom and dad and with the world. So, what's on your mind? We did get a text from Susan Bingham. So, Miss Susan, are you with us?
Yep, I am.
Yep. Hey, welcome.
Sorry.
How are you, young lady?
I'm fine, thank you. And congratulations, first off. This is just a huge thing, a person coming into this world. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, we're working to create a safe space for her that she'll actually get to live a joyful life and a wondrous life and create what she's here to create, as with Ari Rain. And just that's definitely another new level for us.
And isn't it great Dad has a month off? That is enlightened.
Yes.
That is just so good.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not that his company is giving him the time off. He's arranged and saved up vacation time so that he could take the month to just be there with Jamie. And she stopped working about 2 months ago to prep and get ready. And so she's going to be a home mom. And
That's great.
I have a very large smile on my face.
I should think so. I don't know how you can run the radio show. Brain cells are all like a high tide being pulled over there.
We're good.
Well, congratulations. Good. So, Michael, the Aramaicisms tapes move very fast for my brain power. The discussion, it must have been extremely exciting for you to do those with
Dale
Allen Hoffman, yeah. And
yeah, it was a fun event.
Yeah. The part about Nicodemus, I just wonder if you could explain how Nicodemus wasn't getting what he should have been getting. Of course, a lot of the scholars weren't. None of them probably were. But I don't even know how to ask the question. But Nicodemus always been a strict character of mine. So
yeah. When you hear that he comes under cover of night, I think that's a metaphor for his mind is in darkness.
Yeah.
And he's trying to figure it out. You know, well, how can I get back into my mother's womb? What are you talking about? He's really in his mind trying to figure it out. And it's interesting that you came up with this question today. I actually came across a piece of art that really struck me as so befitting. I'm going to see if I can get to use it in my new book, if the artist will allow me. And let's see, what's the guy's name? Anyway. The piece of art is a sculpture, and it has this, like, it's sitting on, like many sculptures are, sitting on a, you know, like block of granite, and it is a huge head where the neck is on the top of the block of granite, and the head just flops over to the other side, almost to the ground. And then there's this little body hanging from the other side of the neck that doesn't even reach the ground. So somebody was in their head. So Nicodemus, I take it, I would say is in carbon-based memory. He's stuck in, you know, those pictures as I talked about. And I haven't used that phrase for a while. I'd actually forgotten that I used it, that, you know, reality, something is painted on the inside of our eyeballs by our brain. And he's stuck in that, and he can't figure it out. And Yeshua was saying, in essence, you know, my take is, you can't figure it out. You're stuck in the number one pseudo solution, the non-being mind. It's not going to happen. And he's inviting him and says, you have to go into the breath. And I'm thinking back a couple of weeks ago, you had some heavy duty stuff going on with Jacob, and we did just a brief meditation, but. You know, we basically invited you, and you really got some relief and a shift when you started to breathe and pay attention to different parts of your structure that were holding on, and you were able to let those parts go and let them soften and move into a totally different space. And, you know, if you look at that word repent, ponce is to think, to rethink. It isn't about, crying and moaning. This is, the non-being mind's interpretation of repent, cry and moan for your sins, for you will, you know, the end is nigh, you know, that whole thing. But the word actually means not even to rethink, but rather to turn your attention in a whole other direction. And so here, and Yeshua was trying to get him to understand that he's got to be out of his mind. He's got to stop looking toward carbon-based memory, the past, replicating itself and trying to put something together that makes sense. And Yeshua was saying, you've got to let go of all of that. You've got to turn your attention to embrace what the creation is attempting to give you, rather than stuck in carbon-based memory looking at the past and trying to figure it out. And the gateway for doing that is the breath. One of the key tools for doing that, of course, is forgiveness, to weaken that which emanates from carbon-based memory, that which formulates this picture that we paint on the inside of our eyeballs and that we're so fixated with. And all that that can do is replicate the past. That's the replicant mind. And that there is a power in you that's capable, unless you're really taking the Creator literally in thy will be done, and your will has been turned over to that non-being mind, that non-being self. We're going to have it this way. And so it's an invitation into to make your home in Rukkah. You know, that that first beatitude does not say be poor in spirit, but have your home in the eternal forces from God. And if you are there, then yours is an estate created from love. And there's so much focus on the fear game of the law as something to be feared, something that men want to get away from, that it's just, you know, it's stuck, carbon-based memory stuck in a loop. And from that place, it's not easy to hear that there is a power in us that will undo all of it. And, you know, going to Rukkah, by definition, Rukkah Tekutcha, the words that the Greeks translate as the Holy Spirit, has nothing to do with a disembodied spirit being, but is a literal feminine elemental force in us that when trusted, when invited into activity, will undo all of the effects of our errors and then teach us the truth, that if we become available to it. But as long as we're stuck in our heads, this particular sculpture the artist calls the, it was the weight of thoughts. There's this big giant head flopped over in this little tiny body. Got to be out of your mind. Is that touching into where you want to go with this question?
I think what I'll have to do, and I'm not sure I'm going to do it because we've just been crazy busy, but you and Dale were batting things back and forth so fast that I didn't even know what I was asking for. It's just that my idea of Nicodemus sneaking in at night because he was afraid of the judgment of his fellow Pharisees, fellow teachers or whatever they were, I never thought of it as being, he got the sense that Jesus was really offering something that he wanted very badly, but he didn't know if he could jump. It meant jumping ship, I guess, becoming different than he'd ever been.
Yeah. And remember, he's so the head, you know, play on words, he's
it's
the
a big
head
deal
of the, you know, the whole sect.
Yeah.
So when the head starts looking for guidance, and, you know, when he talks about Rukkah to him, he's like, you know, you're a leader of Israel and you don't know this? He's shocked.
That was it, right there. You're a leader and you don't know this. This meaning Rukkah, the
have
actual
a home
spirit.
In your breathing.
Yeah, oh, okay. He has been so caught up with the law that he's lost the essence.
Trying to figure it out.
Yeah, okay.
Trying to
all
figure
right,
it
thanks
out.
Thanks, that does help. That does help, thanks. Yeah, I've even thought of going, you know how you can adjust an audio to half as fast? So the speaker
right
goes, And then he said, I think in some ways I need that to be able to get everything, like being on a bucking bronco sometimes, the two of you.
Yeah, it was a fun process.
Yeah. So thanks.
You're welcome and deserving. How are things going with the boys?
I don't know if I told you this. Luke and Max were at the wedding, but Jacob was not. And Luke couldn't stay sober through the whole thing. He's in, and Jacob keeps telling me that Luke is telling him that he is trying to drink himself to death. And Luke, when I talk to Luke, Luke denies it. And then Jacob says, Lukey is lying. He lies so easily that you would never be able to tell that he was lying. He's so used to lying. But this is what he's telling me, and he's telling you something different. So I've got these two boys telling me different things. And Luke has a court date. He has to go to court, and his ex-girlfriend will be there, and he's terrified to even lay eyes on him, her. But then he's thinking of leaving college and going home and enrolling in University of South Florida or something and going to AA programs. Meanwhile, he's going to school at his classes because that's something he can do and he has a job up in where he is at college. He's very, very much in limbo right now and doesn't know how he's going to get home. He can't drive. He's lost his driver's license. Some DUIs.
Right.
So the kid's in bad trouble, and I don't know how Jacob is. He's hasn't talked to me in 2 days, which is good, I think. He calls me unlike his friend, and he really, at this point, ought to have friends among his fellow students, and I'm hoping that's what's happening. But we now have someone living with us who is homeless, who's in the basement. And I'm telling you, Michael, I would have been very nervous having somebody who's homeless living with us, but it is so much easier than having Jacob here. He is quiet and consistent and grateful and sweet, and we're trying to find him a place to live. And there's something in the works, and I'll keep you posted when we find a place for him. He's a musician, a very good guitarist. He's been living in his car with his little dog. And it's gotten too cold now for him to be out nights like that. So.
Yeah, I hear that.
So that's the situation
at
the moment. Things are peaceful, but living in the moment and breathing, I mean, that session you did with me has stuck things. I feel as if I can be even joyful for flashes in spite of, I've been making a deal with God. I'll be happy when this gets fixed, and I'll be happy when that gets fixed. Things might not get fixed. And, you know, that phrase, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. That's what I've been doing. I've been trying to make deals, and instead of that, remembering the breathing, which is like remembering Paul saying, whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever is beautiful, think on these things, or whatever those words were. I don't even remember what they are. So anyway, thanks for doing the work and the little mind shifter that I can be joyful in spite of what's going on. Those things helped a lot during the wedding. We were really present, pretty much present there, and it was lovely. And
Sweetie, that's awesome.
Yeah, the work is
helping. You know, there's another aspect to that conversation with Nicodemus that ties in here too. Yeshua goes into that conversation about, and you want to tell the disciples, you know, right after that we follow into, the disciples are like, well, where's the end? Where's this all going to end up? And he's like, why are you looking for the end? You haven't even found the beginning yet. And how it ties in there, my offering would be that when you are in the beginning, you know, let's get rid of that word happiness. Forget about ever wanting to be happy again. That's a happy is a dopamine hit from achieving a goal.
No.
Even negative goals, people are happy about achieving their negative goals because they got their dopamine hit. But what Yeshua there is talking about is going back to the beginning. What is your beginning? Hold that newborn. Tap into that newborn energy. And what you have is the presence of active love, the beginning. You know, you've heard me say before, Teilhard de Chardin, who is a paleontologist and a Catholic priest, this goes back to his work in the 50s. And he has a quote where he says, joy is the infallible sign of the presence of God. Now, I don't take him at his word. I think he's off just a little bit, because if that were true, since the Creator is omnipresent, love is omnipresent, everybody would be in joy all the time if that were true. But if we just add one word, joy is the infallible sign of the awareness of the presence of God.
That's really
so
good.
So if
I can breathe...
I'm back to the beginning, and I can bring love present to whatever's going on. And I can handle whatever's going on if I've got that connection. And I can bring to bear the energy that was designed for us as human beings from the very beginning to any atrocity in the world. And if I don't know the beginning, if I've lost contact with that newborn essence, that's why that line is in the worksheet, restore me to my newborn essence. If I go back to that, I can handle anything. You know, I think about the, you know, in early religious training, you know, the saints who are being tortured, and they've got these torture scenes, and here are these saints with this beatific grin on their face. It's like, how can you do that? That's crazy. I understand now. Because they're staying connected with the beginning. They're staying connected with their starting point. And it's the breath, and it's the active presence of love, and it's Ruka Dekutcha in Aramaic. And what's everybody else trying to do? Trying to figure out what the end's going to be. Where's it all going to go? It's like, that's not your business. That's not your concern.
No,
it's not your problem.
Isn't.
Your problem is to handle the beginning and stay connected there.
You know, Michael,
and when you
I
do
look
that,
at a new... Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, just when you do that, you bring a whole different energy to bear on everything. Are you still with us?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm trying to tap into looking at the newborn. Looking at the newborn and being invited into that state with the newborn is very easy to do. You can get there. In my regular life, what I've been doing is going back to a time when there was some incredibly basic excitement about life that was just built right into my being where I was, which is when we grew up on the edge of the ocean on Cape Cod. Before it was all developed, there were no houses around. We lived in a shack. We were let loose in the morning, and we went out into the in these little sunsuits barefoot and spent the day. We might check in for a sandwich at lunch, but we were outside digging holes, weaving baskets, seeing black and yellow spiders hanging between fronds of grass, and finding seagull eggs, and walking in a dirt road that had filled at high tide with water, so you couldn't get out of the property. We were surrounded by water at high tides, and the moon would be huge. And there was such, get up in the morning and feel such excitement for life that I go back there. But that's like the newborn right there. I was still doing newbornness, even as a little kid running around. For myself, I can be the newborn. When I look at a newborn, I'm somehow, well, I can't even talk about it. I don't know how to do it. But you're right. The newborn, we all have access holding a newborn,
so,
being that.
So go to your text program on your phone.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
She's been here less than an hour. I mean, we got the real
gorgeous
thing happening.
Oh, my God. What a beautiful picture. Oh, thanks.
Yeah. So well, there's the newbornness. I mean,
a brand new baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Whoa. Okay. Well, I can't really even sort of put into words, but anyway, yeah. Access points back to the essence of our being.
That's what he's telling Nicodemus he's got to learn to do. And he's got to let go of his head to do it. And, you know, the head is this screaming monster. Go, 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 go. Think, thought. And it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's just replicas, just bits of DNA, bits of viruses literally running in the mind. And that's all those things most people call thoughts are.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, you know, one great thing that's happening with all the terrible, I mean, I'm judging them. What's happening in the world is forcing us either into that state that Jesus was trying to get Nicodemus to go to, or we're just going to not be in good shape. We are being pushed to make a decision to turn one way or the other.
It's definitely a big wake-up call.
It sure is.
And the beauty and the power of having that forgiveness tool is each time you use it, it's like on an energetic level, you shave off just a little bit of the impetus of that carbon-based memory system to keep screaming and shouting its story. You scrape off just a little bit each time you apply the forgiveness process.
Yeah, I can feel the truth of that. I bet we all can.
So
those of us who have been hanging on the radio show, you're adjusting brain cells. You're like rerouting neuro pathways or something like that. That's one of the reasons, you know, sometimes when you go into, you know, one of your sort of spiels, like you haven't done it lately, but the silver disc, or, you know, you have certain stories that you'll hitch into and then we're off and swinging. I say, oh, this again. But we need them. We might hang in and listen with the edge of our brain, but then it finally gets through. It takes a long time to get through the gray matter sometimes.
It's a process for sure.
Well, anyway, carry on. There may be somebody else. I've run out of stuff to say, but I'm listening.
Well, joining with you in... Hey, thank you. Thank you. We're blessed. We are definitely blessed. And it's a good thing, you know, I talked to Michael J's mom, and she lives with him, and she was like, you know, she started having these, what she thought were just false contractions last night, and it's gone on pretty much all night. And so CJ's like, and I've been just trying, I almost had to push them out the door. I didn't want him having the baby in the car on the way. It's like, yeah, that's probably a good idea, good thing. So, anyway. Tis sweet. So appreciate you holding the space, dear heart.
Yeah. Well, I hope we get to meet her. It's great to have this little picture. I hope you send it around. Put it in the chat or something, or put it in the archives or something. It's a beautiful picture.
Yeah. It is. It's sweet, isn't it? And it kind of seems like she's been in labor for 12, 14 hours. She looks pretty. Mom looks pretty good.
Yeah. So. He does. He did a tiny muffin. How much did she weigh? I know people love to ask that, but
we don't know
I
yet.
Asked Michael J that, and he said they don't have that yet.
Okay, because she's home. Did she birth at home?
No.
They made it to the hospital.
Yeah, that's right. You said she barely got there, right?
Yeah, she's military, former military. So they had, they actually have a military hospital about 45 minutes from them, where they have really beautiful birthing rooms and, you know, kind of an alternative. You know, they were considering home birth, but then when they had this option and this particular VA hospital has the best patient survivability, you know, birth and moms in the whole state of Kansas, of Missouri. So it was pretty cool that she was able to go to that.
Mm.
Sounds like she was well supported.
Oh, good.
Yes, for sure. All right. Well, anything else on your mind?
No, I'm settling in. Thanks. I'm not.
All right, then. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate you, too.
Breathing with you. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, Miss Jeannie, what do you think of that picture? I think it's pretty awesome. I mean,
yeah,
she looks
fabulous.
Yeah,
they look fabulous. Good. I saw them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's obviously done well. So I could stop talking for the rest of the show and just be in a quiet space with her energy.
But that probably wouldn't go well for a radio show. So you all help us out here.
Probably
somebody
wouldn't.
Press one. Somebody press one.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're out there in listener land, how can we support you? What's on your mind? Call in number if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you in our control panel is 563-999-3581, 563-999-3581. If you dial that number, you'll be listening to the show. And then if you push one on your cell phone, through the magic of technology, a hand will go up and Jeannie will know you want to talk to us. And she'll introduce you by your area code.
We have a hand up.
Awesome. Let's say hello.
I believe it's Julie, 541. You're on the air.
Hi. Well, congratulations.
Hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, bye now. Just kidding. I'm just reporting that I'm on the road. I'm driving by Mount Shasta right now, going south on my way to my high school reunion. And I canceled
the
Miss Goals that I feel really good about, just playing this wonderful song the way I play it in this present moment when it's time to do that. And
cool.
It's been a joy. Yeah. It's a fun song, and I'm enjoying playing it again. You kind of have to wake these songs up every once in a while. So it's Bumble Boogie. Have you ever heard of it?
You know, usually I can call a song to mind, but that does not come to mind for me.
Yeah, it's like the classical piece, Flight of the Bumblebee. And way
uh-huh.
back in the 50s maybe or so, this man decided to make a boogie out of it. And so it's fun.
Right.
If you go on YouTube, you'll find these two guys that have a duet arrangement of it. I think they're from somewhere in Europe, their names are. And it's just so exciting to listen to. It's really cool how the arrangements they made. But anyway, you know, I was just thinking I'm 70 years old almost, and last time these people heard me play this, I was in eighth grade, and they're the ones that said, please play it for us. So I am. I will. And it'll be
cool.
Fun. So I'm happy. The stress is kind of finally gone, and thank you for your support yesterday.
You got it.
And the day before, and the day before. So Kelly Jo. And what was the third name? And
Kaylee.
It sounded like four names. Haley?
Kaylee.
Oh, so it's Kelly Jo, right?
No, not Kelly. Kaylee.
Oh,
K-A-Y-L-E-E.
Kaylee. Oh, like that with two E's. That's fun.
And then J-O. And then the third name is Luna, L-U-N-A.
Oh, Luna. I thought I heard Luna or Iluma or something.
It's Luna.
Oh, and then the last
and
name
then
is Rice.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Well, I started my journey, I guess, when she was born. So that's pretty wonderful. Nice to be in the space of a newborn. Wow. Well, I have nothing else to share, but that's good. So carry on with the beautiful show and support somebody else if they call in.
Safe travels.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. So if you're out there in listener land, what's on your mind? How can we support you?
Nobody else has a question. There was one of the things that we talked about this morning when we first woke up was one of the things that I tapped into. I've been writing again in my book, and that one of the reasons that I don't sleep well is it goes back to body memory of when I was attacked or abused. And so maybe I will reach a certain point where I've done enough forgiveness work to get into the body memory. I mean, I know the forgiveness work itself, it's like mental and emotional, and that's attached to the body. But is there another way of getting rid of body memory?
Yes. If you go back to radio show day one and listen to all 4,000 hours in the last 11 years.
I knew you were going to say that.
Every word would be an answer to that question. Yes, every tool we've got, you know, willingness, honoring truth, you know, trusting. And, of course, nutritional solvency is an important part of it. You know, to me, that's one of the beauties of us having the gardens that we've got and the food that we're now eating that's actually honest to God food, you know, grown on soil instead of in dirt, and provides vitality and strength. And as each layer is ready to come up, those layers will move and process out. You know, it's not very long ago, without getting into any kind of deep specifics, but if you remember, you've got a particular scar, and literally your body was throwing off the trauma of some of that scar as literally where the stitches were from, 35 years ago, that they started to dissolve, started to the energy started to move, and that's part of getting rid of body memory. You know, scars are suppressed trauma, and when I'm willing to feel and be with what's moving, then that was a pretty significant shift for you. So I think you're well on your way, and it's rocking along. And it doesn't go overnight. Each burden that's forgiven is a step up in vitality, which empowers doing the next layer that needs to be done. And staying connected to love in the presence of those things when they surface, remembering that they're going to look exactly the way on, exactly as they did on the way in when the energy is moving out. Courage. I feel like I could just be with Haley Joe's energy. So we need somebody with a thought for us, a question, an answer, something to share. Something that you could use some support with. Push one. Let's have a conversation. I'm thinking about, I'm remembering how when Ari Rain was about to be born, I ran off to take care of some errands and got back to the hospital just maybe a minute after Ryan had brought Ari out to meet you and her other grandparents. And he'd left the room, but I could still feel her energy in the room. I mean, it was just so palpable, her presence, her being. And I'm kind of feeling like that with Kaylee Jo right now, like just being with that sweetness. So what's on your mind?
We have a hand up.
All right.
And I believe that it is Michael 770. You're on the air.
Good day, folks.
Hey there,
and
good
congratulations.
Sir. Well, thank you.
How are you all?
We're rocking, doing well.
Wonderful, wonderful news.
How about you?
On the arrival of Kaylee Jo, is that correct?
Kaylee Jo, yep.
Kaylee Jo Luna. Kaylee Jo Luna. Very nice, very nice. I know that... beautiful feeling. Let me see. That's great. That's great. So we're rocking along, looking through the worksheets, and yeah, lots stirring up in my head, but that's all processing here and there. Things are good.
So any specific thoughts, anything we can support you with?
I do have a question. I was looking last night. I had to take a little bit of a break from the worksheets. And I was looking a little bit into, if I think the terminology is correct there, the Kaboris manuscript. Is that correct?
Right. Yep.
Yeah. And I'm just sharing, basically. I was just shocked that I did not know that that's only the New Testament, as what I guess
yes.
Christianity refers to as the New Testament today.
Correct.
So that was an eye-opener for me. So is there another Aramaic document, a collection of documents that exist on the Old Testament, or where does that stand as compared with the New?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's just this particular manuscript is totally focused in the New Testament. But the Old Testament documents are out there. This particular, the Kaboris, and it's named the Kaboris because it was found on the Kaibor River in Turkey back in the 70s by my partner. And the oldest known New Testament in Aramaic. There are comparable Old Testament documents, but this one's strictly New Testament.
The fun part of
that book, Enlightenment, that we sent you is that, you know, you'll notice as you're reading, there are brackets around Aramaic words, and then in the back, you've got a first century dictionary. You go back and one of the most powerful processing experiences of my life was the second time that I went to, and I'd invite you to do this without really looking at the translation as much as the Aramaic words in Matthew 5 on the Beatitudes, and take each of those Aramaic words and go back and longhand write out your understanding from those first century Aramaic word definitions of the Beatitudes. It's powerful.
Okay. So that that's listed in that book also, the translation of those words?
Yeah, if you just go to Matthew 5, you know, the book's in three sections. The front is an introduction. Okay. Then there's some select passages from the New Testament. And then in the back, there's a dictionary. So go to Matthew 5 and then, go through taking the key words. Now, what's in that book now is what I and Dan McDougald had worked out from that original work that I did, where I did it longhand. This is 30 years ago. And it was I'd always been taught that the Beatitudes were this kind of nice philosophy. And it was the second time that I was writing it out. And it's like, no, this isn't a philosophy. This is a set of instructions. This is a how-to. And as you do that and you get your own sense of it, it's very powerful.
Very, very interesting to see the things we've been told and then see some of these other documents and translations. It's quite eye-opening.
Yep.
Yes. I did not get a chance,
yep,
of course, to research it more on my own, but I will do that and look at some of these other documents that might be out there. Are any of those other documents on your website by any chance?
No.
Okay.
No, our work has been totally focused in the Kabbalists.
Kabbalists, okay.
Go ahead, sweetie.
I was just going to say, if you go to the website, though, up in the where the menu is, I'm clicking as I go so I tell you the right. Okay, there's one that says Kabbalists, and then there'll be a drop down, and underneath it's the introduction to the Kabbalists. So that's a lot of information other than what's in the Enlightenment. The Kabbalists as a source. The Enlightenment information, history on the Enlightenment, Aramaicisms, current work being done, the Lord's Prayer, Beatitudes, pictures of the Kabbalists. So there's a lot of information there. If you just click on the Kabbalists, then all of that will drop down. So there's a lot of stuff out there.
Wonderful. Thank you for pointing that out, Jeannie. That's really great to know. Really nice. And yes, that was a moving series, that number 4 yesterday.
That clicked for you?
Yeah, that was lots of info. That's great. Really nice.
Yeah, we covered a lot of territory with that. And, of course, anybody can go back to the archives to listen to that. Do you have the dates, Jeannie, when the number 1, 2, and 3 were done?
Yes.
It was a four-hour workshop live with myself and Dale Allen Hoffman. And so yesterday's replay,
it was when we were on vacation. So it's August the – hold on, clicking it open. So it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And, of course, Wednesday and Thursday, the number 3 got played both times. So that's why we did number 4 yesterday. But it's August the 22nd, 23rd, 24th is the first three. And then on August 25th, part 3 got played again. And then on August the 26th, Dr. Tim had done an interview with Dale Allen Hoffman. So he played that for us on the 26th. So that whole week was on Aramaicisms.
Mm-hmm. And then we did a whole week on Beatitudes as well with Mark. That was, let's see, click, if you can go to start here and then scroll down to other worksheets and then the Beatitudes, then you'll see a link, Beatitudes page, and it has MP3s of the shows that Michael and Mark Hattis did back in June of 2022 and December of 21. So there's like six shows right there, and there is clicks just to listen to. So if you go to the start here and then click on the Beatitudes page.
I'll be looking forward to those too, Jeannie. Thanks again for pointing that out. There's so much wonderful information on that site. That's just so, so much to absorb. So when you point things out like that to us newer folks, we certainly appreciate it.
Well, you are welcome and deserving.
And for anybody that you know, that wants to go, you know, really go into that another level, you can go to our website under products, and that 4-hour video is available. You can either order it as a DVD set, or you can order the streaming service of it. So, you know, so anybody wants the whole, because there is a fair bit of board work that's done, you know, visual with that workshop between Dale and I as well.
Mm-hmm. So the Beatitudes is similar to the format of what you did with Dale Hoffman?
Actually, it was a radio show that we did. It wasn't a live workshop, but I had done some work with the Beatitudes, and then there's a student named Mark Hattis who really picked up on them and really, you know, got into it. And so we created a week of radio shows where we just had a conversation about the Beatitudes, taking them to the next level. And the same as with what people call the Lord's Prayer, which is not a prayer at all, but a set of instructions. The Beatitudes are a set of instructions. Bull, you know, ignore what Yeshua said. You know, he said, don't babble like the pagans. Don't repeat and repeat. It all comes from your head. It's not what it's about. But here's a set of instructions for how to access things that you've hidden from yourself. And that's what the Beatitudes are. And then, you know, the Lord's, what they call the Lord's Prayer. And when you go to the Aramaic, the word prayer means to set a trap for God in the sense that your TV antenna is a trap or captures a signal from the television station and reflects it into the TV set. Well, in exactly the same way, when you are aligned and oriented correctly, then you become the space that captures that energy in which we live, move, and have our being. It's called love. It's been called God. And it reflects and pours into the world through you. So that's what his instructions were about. And, you know, the video for that one is on our YouTube channel, Living Not Saying the Lord's Prayer. So it was a set of instructions for how to live. It wasn't a, here's something you should say every Sunday morning when you gather with other people and, you know, repeat, repeat, repeat.
Wonderful. Got that one marked down also. Thank you. Thank you.
Sweet.
You know, it just, what just comes to my mind, Michael and Jeannie, is as begin to look further and further into this work, that comes to my mind is, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What peace
free.
It brings to
That's,
know. Yeah.
Yeah, when you can be out of your mind.
Mm. Wonderful peace.
Living and being, yeah. You know, these little ones come in, and, you know, I can remember so well the birth of my daughter, especially. Yeah. I got to catch her. She was born at home. And As she was delivering, she opened her eyes and looked me square in the eye, even though the medical profession will tell you that a child can't focus their eyes in the first hours. She was 1,000% focused and grinned at me and literally sent me into that state that this whole body of work is about. And she sent me so deeply into it that it was just amazing. And that was another level. You know, Michael Jay's birth was an inspiration when I realized that, you know, we had to change this world for there to be a place for our children to grow up and our grandchildren. And then Krista opened, when she was born, opened that space of just the deepest experience of pure being that I've ever had. And literally when Jeannie came in and told me that Kaylee Jo had been born, it was just like, okay, well, I could just hang up the phone now and just go back there and be in that space. Would have been really easy.
Thank you for sharing. That is so, so beautiful. And the inspiration and the work that brings us all to this day. It's wonderful.
Yep.
I certainly thank you all. It's beautiful.
It was interesting. The day that Krista was born, it was actually 3:40 in the afternoon when we realized that it was a Friday afternoon. I lived in LA and I had a classroom in my home and had a workshop scheduled for that weekend. And it was 3:40 in the afternoon when we realized that my wife was in labor, and at 4:40, Krista was born. We had people come from all over the country, and particularly we were in Atlanta. We had one fellow that was driving from Miami, Florida to the workshop, and that was before cell phones. And so there was no way to contact, there was no way to cancel it. So at 7 o'clock, when the class was ready to start, I walked, as people were arriving at the door, I greeted them and had Krista in my arm. And they're like, you know, so this is two and a half hours after she's born. No, that can't be. She wasn't just born 2.5. Yeah, she was born 2.5 hours ago. And I went down to the classroom to start to teach, and I could not think a thought. That's part of how I learned you got to be out of your mind. I couldn't think a thought.
Wow.
And the only way I've been able to describe it, and we're just about out of time, but the way I came to describe it was like my brain and my lips were buttered. It was just like direct. There was no intellectual process going on in my head, nothing between what came out of my mouth and what came from the source. That's the state she put me in.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
It must be. That's where we all need to get to, right?
That's the ultimate goal. And that's it.
That's great. Beautiful. Well, thank
you
again for sharing.
In the breath. All right, my friend, you have a blessed one. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.